When we want to stray, Father, that our hearts won't let us, Lord, because we know that we are so perfectly loved that anything else that we think might be able to love us or draw us near to that fake love, Lord God, it won't have any appeal, Lord. You are love. God is love. Father, help us to remember that.
Your love, O Lord.
Going into relationship, going into a marriage. Help us to be worthy of that love, Lord God, and help us to understand what that means, Lord God. It's a sacred bond, Father. We are your bride, Lord. Help us to be faithful as you are faithful to us, Lord. And as we sing this next song, Lord God, we're asking you to help us just to break our chains, Lord. And I know that sometimes when I do this song, I ask the Lord to bring people to your mind, to really pray for them and really cry out for them, Lord. But I really pray right now, Father, that you even help us, Lord God, first, before we're praying for others, Lord. We ask that you give us freedom, Lord God. We pray that you help us break our chains, Lord. And sometimes we have to realize that we have chains on us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we have a soft heart and that we have an open heart to hear what you want us to get rid of, Father. For some of us, Lord God, that might be drinking, Lord God. For some of us, Father, that might be smoking, Lord. For some of us, that might be living us in a sinful relationship, Father, where we're not putting you first in any of these circumstances, Lord, but we're putting our flesh first, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that as we are seeking you, Father, not our own wants, not our own flesh, Father, but as we're seeking you, Lord, I pray that you help us to break these chains and then help us to pray for others to break those too, Lord, because we are examples, Father. We are your church. We're your body, Father. And I pray, Lord, that as we're walking this earth, as we still have breath in our lungs and we're still here, Lord God, that we won't disappoint you, Father, that we will be good representatives of your love and your forgiveness and your overcoming power, Father. We don't become Christians and say we have no hope. We become Christians and we say we have all the power because Jesus overcame everything. Yes, that's right. Lord God, we can overcome too by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you do break these chains, Father. We no longer have to walk in hopelessness. We no longer have to walk in fear. The Lord has given us every tool. All we have to do is reach it and grab it and use it. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you give us amazing wisdom today, Lord God, for any of us that are really just struggling, Lord God, with things that we just can't let go of, Father. I pray that you just give us this amazing wisdom and enlightenment, Lord God, that we have everything we need. We have the Holy Spirit, and that we can break every chain, Lord. And Lord God, as people around us see us break those chains, Father, I pray that it's such an encouragement to say, look, they have the Holy Spirit. Look what the Holy Spirit can do. I can do it too for God.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Help us to be the overcomers that we were meant to be in you, Father. Help our light to shine, Lord God, and help us to know that we have victory in Christ, Lord. We pray that you lead us today, Lord God. We pray that your Holy Spirit just overwhelm this place, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that we are just a willing people, Father, to do your will and to learn and to listen and to change, Lord. Help us not to have fear from changing, Lord God, because once we become that new creation, there's so much freedom. It's so beautiful, Father, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, Lord God. Now we have wings. Now we can move around more. We have more freedom in you, Lord. Help us to understand.
You guys all hear bad, heavy baby jazz, wasn't it? I can just hear him like,
we're going to break every chain in Jesus' name. I just hear baby jazz go,
yeah!
I love it.
Be approved.
That's right.
Well, preacher.
Oh.
All right. All right, George, would you do me two favors? One, if you'd sing a little bit. Two, I'd do that. If you turn down the volume, I seem a little, just a tiny bit loud for me. Believe it or not.
Oh, your other speaker's working now.
They are all working. And then the other thing is, you know, as she was doing worship, there was a movie that I had on my screen. When you're going to have to find it again. It's a short one. I'm sorry, you guys can all just listen in. We're very casual here. It'll be in my folder called Today's Sermon. And it'll be in the folder called Today's Sermon. And then it'll have a couple of, like, tennis shoes as the picture. Okay? I know. You're gonna find it in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. Well, while he's doing that, and then we'll play it at some point, if and when he finds that. But a couple things. Please continue to pray for Shirley. I think the surgery is, it's been rescheduled like a zillion times. But Monday, is that correct? Yes? Monday is the surgery, so please pray for her. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Connie has entered the building. Let's all give her a round of applause. Not only that, but you guys have all been praying for Billy and his pneumonia. He's back in here as well. Pretty awesome. A svelte 60 pounds lighter. Pretty amazing. But he is here. Okay, but there is no bread, so just have to suffer there. Okay, so the case for Christ, just a reminder to go see that in the movies. Hey, just out of curiosity, is there anybody, if we actually did show this movie here, in a couple weeks. Would anybody be interested in seeing that here? Raise your hand if you want to. Okay, maybe we'll do that instead. Okay. All right, that's fine. I'll wait on that. And everybody knows Paul and Marcia Cowley are coming here Sunday, coming next month. And again, they minister to the inner city slums in Africa. They've been doing that for, I think, about 17 years now. And then we're going to have a cookout afterwards. And thank you for, I don't know, Chris and Wendy Jo and some of the other people who putting up that gazebo. Thank you for doing that. But anyway, we're going to be doing that next month. And so just be in prayer for them for safe travel and all that. I'll wait on that, too. We're also doing a lot of equipping here at the church. And so somebody said, hey, are we going to do the Grave Church book giveaway again? Because we're continually giving away stuff and resources that will help equip you in the work of the ministry. We do have a loaner library back there, but we do have and sermons online. But there are some things that we wanted to give away. And so before I forget, I want to offer a few things to you. And this is just, again, we just want you to grow in the Lord. That's the main thing. We want you to be strengthened, encouraged. We want you to shine so that people will so see your light shine that they'll see what's going on in your life and they'll praise their Father in heaven. And they'll see what's different about you that I'm drawn to. What is it? And that's what we want people to see. And so before I forget, Gary, can I toss it to you? No. I'll hit the cake for sure. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, good. Interception by Scott, but that's okay. This present darkness.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, you're welcome. All right. Now, we also have some more things. If anybody is interested, a few more that didn't make it out. More Than a Carpenter. Again, Josh McDowell. Fantastic book. We gave away, I don't even know how many copies last week. So if there's anybody else, we ran out. So if there's anybody else, this is a fantastic, if you're a logical mind, this is a fantastic book. If you read this one book, you probably have more knowledge and understanding. Well, you know, why is the Bible relevant? You know, can we trust it archaeologically, scientifically? If there's anyone else who didn't get a copy, I know we ran out last week. If there's anyone else who wants one, it's a free gift.
Good one to give to a friend.
I'm sorry?
It's a good one to give to a friend.
It is a good one to give to a friend if they'll read it. Yeah, so if there's anybody else who wants one, raise your paw. Okay. Okay, great. Ryan, you're the man. Love it. You gonna read it? You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, who else? Okay, here. Pass that back there, Josh. Okay, cool. All right, now we have some DVDs for folks like me who struggle with reading. And we have CDs. So, okay, so first we have I'm going to give you two different choices. I've got a couple of these left and a couple of these. This is Audacity. If you have a friend that is struggling with homosexuality or lesbian, this is a great movie. It's called Audacity. Love Can't Stay Silent. Fantastic film. It was a great giveaway. We watched it with the youth. We've handed out a zillion of them. There's a couple left. I only have two left here. If anyone would like a copy to check out or to give to a friend, yep, you got it, friend. How many? Can you catch it? Oh, good. Okay, good. Anybody else? Going once, twice? So, and then I've got a couple of copies of this. This is probably one of the best movies on when talking about life, babies, life and abortion, and it's probably a 30-minute DVD, but it's such a hard-hitting, it's called 180, and there's tons of people in here that were absolutely adamant abortionists, and by the end of the talk, they were turning around and they were completely changed a different way. Yeah. And so if anybody, this is probably one of the most powerful movies, okay, back there, okay, hey, good. I got a couple more left. Would anyone like them? Okay. Ooh, you are left. You're going to watch it? All right. I think you watched that, you. All right. Anyone else? One more. One of the most powerful movies you've ever seen. I'm telling you. Anybody else? All right. Once? Twice? Okay. Good. Life, would you go back to the back? Give that away. Thank you so much. Okay. And last but not least, CDs. I've got two here. I can't remember who asked for them. They might not even be here since we have a bunch of people on vacation this weekend. But we did a teaching on 2 Chronicles a couple of weeks ago. And so if anybody did not hear that message and that wanted it, I don't know if you're here today, but I have like 4 copies. Okay, a few people. It's a really, I want to say it's a good message, but anyway. anyway, it is a good message, but good. Okay, back there, Amber Lee Guy. That way back in the back. Okay, anybody else? I got a couple left. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We just want you to grow in the Lord. That's it. No questions asked. JoJo, would you give one more to Ma back there? Or give this back to Amber Lee again. She just gave hers away. One more. Anybody else? One left. Once. Twice. And then the last one from a friend of mine, James Walker. He was a fourth generation Mormon elder. For four generations, his families were leaders in the Mormon church. And now he's come to Christ. And for about two decades now, he has a cult watch group. And he goes over to Utah all the time to share Christ and Christianity with the Mormons. And it's a fantastic teaching. I had him come to another church that I was at some years ago.
Yeah.
And if anybody would like that, it's a fantastic, you'll learn more. Most people don't know about Mormonism and being a cult, and I'm telling you, you'll learn more from this teaching than most people on the planet, even a lot of Mormons don't even know. Yeah, it's fantastic. As my doctor who friends would say, fantastic. Okay, Connie, back there, good. Rudy? Sorry guys, we're solved. Oh, no, it's too late now. We both got up first. Good. One more? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. I just want to do this. Wait, do we have one more? Anybody else in front? Okay, right, serious. Okay, so let's get into our teaching time today.
Pastor Dan?
Yes? Oh, yes, please, Susie, go ahead.
Okay.
You want a mic?
No, I'll just stand over here in the corner. This is the church family directory. And
you don't want the mic.
No.
I'm doing
so,
you have to speak up then.
So I'm going to pass this around. And if you're already part of our church family, your name might already be on here. Just see if it's correct. If everything's correct, just put a check mark through your name. If not, just scribble through and make the changes. If you're new to our church family and you call us your home, then in the back there's some blank pages. Just fill it out with all your family information. We do this about once a year, and we're ready to do it again. And I'd like to get it all done in about 2 weeks.
Okay?
So I'll start up here, and then just kind of keep it going, and then put it on the back table when at the end, and I'll collect it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so just so you guys know, prayer. If you're interested in praying for the service and for the community, Sunday mornings here at around 9 or 9:30, get together. Gary heads that up if you're interested. This week is the Brief Women's Bible Study here at Home Fellowship Church at 6:30 for fellowship, 7 p.m. Bible study with Priscilla Shire, that's Tony Evans' daughter, and that'll be this Tuesday at 6:30 if you'd like to come. Okay, so this is next week. Thursday night barbecue with Bible study if you're interested in it was a great time last Thursday. It was really awesome. And then, let's see what else we got in school this week. I think that's about it, yes. Oh, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, just continue to pray for favor with the county. You know, there's a family that shared something. I won't say who they were, but anyway, they're having to leave the state, and so they're having to take their kids with them for their work. And their grandma, who's a godly woman, came and happened to drop off the kids and just said something that was so amazing. And my wife doesn't even know this, but they pulled me aside and just said, you know, this has been the absolute best thing that has ever happened to these kids. And I just thought, wow, Lord, you are so cool. And this is not a person who's prone to just using words, you know, freely. And it was such a beautiful thing. And so just continue to pray for the school and all the people who are investing their heart, their life, their hearts and lives in it. For practically nothing. God's doing a wonderful work there. Okay, so here's what we got. We're going to go verse by verse through the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? Chris, can you grab some Bibles? If you need a Bible delivered to you, Chris will take it right to your door. We go through verse by verse through the Bible, each book of the Bible, each verse of the Bible, so you know what it means in context. Something was mentioned last week, and a couple people that asked me about it. So today you get two Bible studies in one. All right, so I just want to clarify one quick thing before we get into Romans 14. And Romans 14, which we're going through. Last week, Michael came and shared the word with us. He did a great job. And about Zacchaeus, fantastic job. And anyway, one of the things that was shared about was since Zacchaeus was a rich man, the story of where Jesus said it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for the camel to fit through the eye of a needle. And a couple people asked me about that word. So I want to tell you a couple things. There's been a lot of things said about that. Some of these little comic strips are kind of funny. a lot of different ideas of what that means. Before you should try, let me know. It's supposed to be a camel through the eye of a needle. Anyway, this one, yet another attempt. Okay? You know, and so if you would, if we could just take 5 minutes to go over this, because some people had some questions afterwards, so I just thought I'd address it real quick. You could go in your Bibles to Mark real quick. Mark chapter something. Chapter something. Well, it gives you a second now.
Chapter 10,
he says.
25.
I think he's right. Hey, you are right. Now I found my little bookmark. That's something. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Chapter 10:25.
All right. Hey, Joe, can you get the lights for just a second while we read? Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. You're going to see a rich young man. Last week we talked about Zacchaeus and how he got saved. And you can see the evidence of salvation in his life. He gave away his stuff. I mean, he was on board for the Lord. He didn't care who knew about it. Invited his friends over. I don't care who knows that I know this Jesus. I just want everybody to know. I want to tell you, and you saw a change in his life. This rich young man came to Jesus, and I'm sure many of you know the story. you know, and as I read this morning, you know, I thought about this is the only person that Jesus ever invited to follow him that left in a worse condition than when he came. Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. And so the story's significant. And so I just want to take a minute. If I could get somebody who does is kind of a good reader and doesn't mind me interrupting every few minutes.
Yeah.
Can someone read for me? Okay, Sarah, do you mind?
Okay. Wait, verse what?
You run that microphone. I'm gonna make you do.
I think I got a loud voice.
Oh, you do, but I'm gonna have to do the microphone.
Wait, to what verse?
Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17.
No, to what? Like 17 to what?
Yep, 17 till I say stop-a-rooty.
Okay. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so
you can
heal."
Mark chapter 10.
Oh, whoops.
Verse 17. Thinking, hey, that's a cool story, but it doesn't. You'll find it, though. I know you will.
Hopefully. Okay. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
Okay, first off, when this tells me really quickly, do you notice how did this man come to Jesus?
Running.
What does that tell you about him?
He's trying to get his attention, like, get to him fast.
It's important? Get to him fast?
Yeah.
Okay, and what did he do when he got there? What does it say?
He knelt down.
What does that show?
Respect.
Respect. Wait, too many what?
Respect.
Respect?
Worship.
Worship. Absolutely. All true, right? So he runs to Jesus. So obviously, he knows he has need, right? I mean, you don't see, I don't like some of these seeker-sensitive, well, we just want to make everything so nice in church, we don't want to offend anybody. No, when somebody's looking for Jesus, they know. Like, when you came to Jesus, didn't you know you needed Jesus? It wasn't working in my life. My heart's not right. My thinking's not right. My life's screwed up. He's running to Jesus, okay? And he falls on his knees. He respects him, right? And so he does the right thing. That's a good thing. And he says, "Good teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, he says, clarifies it a little bit more. It says, what must I do? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Matthew adds that part. And so, in other words, this is a religious guy. What do I got to do, right? Isn't that always what religious people do? Come to Jesus. What do I got to do? What work? How do I do prayers? What do I got to do? And so that's where he's at. And then Jesus says something really interesting. Keep going, Sarah. Verse 18.
Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only good is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your mother and father.
Yes.
Teacher,
Hold on one second. In my translation, it says, hey, Jesus answered, there's no one good but God.
Right.
What does that say? What does that say to you? What is Jesus saying? Is he saying he's not good?
No, he's saying he's God.
Bingo. Yeah. That's right. He even called himself, if you remember back in John chapter 10, he called himself the what kind of shepherd? I'm the good shepherd. So no one's good but God. So either I'm not good or I am Emmanuel. Yes, actually, Jackson.
I think in this situation specifically, it was really important for Jesus to distinguish that he was God, because if you remember, the first thing the man said to him was, good teacher. He recognized Jesus as a man and as a good teacher, but he already, right off the bat, didn't recognize him as God.
That was a good point that I'm going to remember for my next teaching. Good job. And so he says, okay, and he tells them the commandments. Do you notice what kind of commandments did he tell them? All the ones that were horizontal or vertical? Do you know what I mean? What? Yeah, it had to do with other people, right? Not with the Lord, right? And listen to how he answers. Go ahead, verse 20.
Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me.
Now listen.
At this...
Hold on, one second. Okay, so basically he's saying, hey, I've kept all these vertical ones. I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I treat people right. I don't cheat. I don't cover it. I don't do those things. I don't commit adultery. You know, I'm not... He says, I've done this. And they said, oh... Jesus looked at him. It wasn't like, oh, you sinner. Like we get in a lot of churches. You know, what'd you say?
Pants on fire.
That's right. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He didn't say that. It says he looked at him with love. Whenever Jesus looks at us, even in our worst condition, he's not looking like, oh, you, please. He says, I love you. And that's what he's doing here. And he says, oh, okay, since you're worried about all you have to do is sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then follow me.
Because he said he lacked one thing.
What do you think?
He lacked that thing, possessions. He had great possessions.
It was the vertical. It was interfering, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You can't serve two masters, he said in Matthew chapter 6. You're going to end up loving the one and hating the other. Well, anyway, let's continue on here. I'll get to the point that I'm trying to make.
At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples,
Stop. Why did this... Okay, this man's face fell, and he went away because he had great wealth.
He loved his wealth more than...
What? I'm sorry?
He loved his wealth. He loved what he had.
Yes.
When you grow through something and you're so attached to something, it's really hard to give it away, especially if you had much pleasure with it.
That's it. Those things are absolutely true.
I was going to say, too, it's like, it seems like he really did love the Lord, and he really tried to stick to everything, but I think there's also a comfort, not even just loving money, but there's such a comfort in knowing that he has a stable, he's stable, you know, and giving up all of that is like saying he has to have a little bit extra faith, you know. I think maybe the Lord was getting that too. Like, you know, of course you've been doing all these great things and you love me. You've never gone without. But go the extra step further, and now you have to go without and now live on faith alone in a way. So
I think Jesus too, I think he's trying to, sometimes the Lord does this. I don't know if he does this in your life, but he does it in my life. Sometimes he cuts through all the baloney. You know what I'm saying? Like we're making excuses and he just goes, yeah, this is the real issue. Don't tell me all the good things you're doing. This is the hard issue I'm trying to get out of you. And that's when I've watched people do one of two things. I watch them break in their hearts and say, oh my God, you're right. Or I watch them walk away, like sadly this guy did. And he goes on to say this, verse 23, go ahead, Sarah, you're doing great.
How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them, but Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
Okay, stop there for a second. Now listen, so this is what was brought up with Zacchaeus, someone shared it. It's from a good teaching. Okay, now this is what's called the eye of a needle. Can you hit the light just for a second, Jojo? In Israel, okay, what they would do is, some folks didn't understand, they would close the main gates at night for protection, right? The big doors where everybody could get in, the sheep, the caravans, all that kind of stuff. And they would have this tiny little door here, right, called the eye of the needle. And what they would do is, the thought is, here's the teaching, and I can't even say it's wrong. I don't agree with it personally. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. But I understand the teaching. It's a good teaching. If you got all the stuff off the camel and you got him on his knees and you pushed and pulled enough, you worked really hard, you can get him into that eye of the needle if you worked really hard. The problem that I have, and it's a good illustration, what they're trying to say is if we unburden ourselves with everything, if we come to him on our knees, we can make it in. Now, what I don't like about that could be the case. I'm going to tell you why I'm not sure that it is, which is something Michael said, which I agree with. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's been by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, lest anyone should boast. So it's not like that rich man could get through there if you pull and push and try really hard and we're going to get him through. It's not by works. It's not by yourselves. It's a gift of God. We have to receive it by faith. And so, I think the answer here, I think it means, this is my personal opinion, but if you believe the other thing, that's okay too. Mark 10:26-27. I think it means just what it says. A camel fitting through the eye of a needle. And here's why I think that. The last few verses, Jojo, can you hit? Sorry, my old eyes can't see. Thanks. The last few verses, would you read, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, honey. Maybe starting, whatever it was,
26. The disciples were astonished. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus looked at them and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. But not with God. Everything is possible with God.
There, you can stop there. When the disciples were so amazed at his teaching, they said, well, then who can be saved? Like, in other words, they're saying, well, that it's impossible. But then he's saying, hey, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus is saying, with me, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I make it possible for people like you to be saved, Matt. Like me. I'm the impossible guy. You know, maybe you're the impossible girl. You know, maybe people looked at you and said, ha, Sarah, please. She can't be saved. Sue Berger, are you kidding me? That hippie? You know what I mean? Darren, that prideful, stuck-up dude, are you kidding me? Never. And yet with Jesus, all things are possible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. George, were you able? Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the books that you, the little pamphlet books, whatever you call it, that you hand out, that I keep picking up because I keep giving. Is How Good Is Good Enough?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep. Andy Stanley, yes.
Yeah.
Excellent book. How Good Is Good Enough? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if there's any copies, I highly recommend people picking one up.
Good. George, by any chance, do you have that movie? You don't? Yes?
I believe I found it.
You're amazing. I don't care what Carl says about you. I think you
are
super.
Yeah.
All right, so I felt like the Lord, it's all about Jesus. And even as we finish out these last few verses in Romans, you know, it's not really, it's just like there's only a few verses left. It's in Romans chapter 14, and I think we just have to be brought back to remember, it's, listen, we were talking about this Thursday night. People really, God has made us, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for your life. He wants you to walk in it. But in all honesty, what people need to see in you is Jesus shining through. Jesus said this. This is cool. Hear me now. He said, if anybody wants to follow me, what's the first? He says, the first thing you must do is what? Deny yourself. Not even before take up the cross. He says, deny yourself. Whatever you, your wants, your needs, that has to be real in your life. I want you to put all that aside. And then take up your cross and follow me. That's what I want you to do. And so if we want Jesus to be seen, that's what's going to have to happen in our life. Because he's the foundation for everything. If we don't have Jesus as the foundation in our hearts, in our homes, in our work, in our, everything else is going to be off. The building's going to collapse. The home's going to collapse. Your life is going to collapse. The relationship is going to collapse. The building that you're building on is going to collapse. The foundation must be Jesus Christ. He is the one who heals. He is the one who restores. He is the one who gives new life, new heart, new thinking, new direction. That's who he is. Sorry, I get excited. Okay, Jorge, do you have that movie? And if so, thanks.
Jorge.
Thank you. say, huh? Wow. Maybe nothing. That's what my Jesus does. He makes things. He is the foundation of everything. Joe, would you hit those lights? Alright, let's open to Romans chapter 14 and finish these verses. If you've missed the last few teachings on Romans 14, then there's a lot of stuff that we went over, and so unfortunately, we don't have all the time to go through all of that stuff and review. But, hey, would somebody mind reading just for us Romans 14 through maybe 9 real quick? Sarah, do you have the mic?
Mm-hmm.
Could you bring it to somebody who is just a good reader? Any good readers that can read that quickly? Raise your hand. Raise your phone. Amberly? Okay, right there, Amberly guy.
Oh.
Yes. All right.
Thank you.
So we're just going to review, just going to have read what we already taught on, and you can hear that in the audio, and then just maybe read down to, stop at verse 10. And
I'm starting at the beginning of 14?
Yeah, just read it through. I'll try to keep my mouth shut the whole time.
All the way of love. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy.
Romans chapter 14.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Although that's very good, true.
Okay.
Romans chapter 14, verse 1-9.
Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat.
So basically what we're talking about, the key of this whole verse here, is back in verse, I don't know if it's 1, yeah, verse 1. It's talking about passing judgment on disputable matters, okay? On things that are not clearly brought out in Scripture. Okay, on things of personal conviction. And so when we go through this, you know, when he's talking about these things, God wants unity. Of course, we can see that in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things love. And so, but we need to find common ground on these things that are not clear in Scripture. You know, we talked about stuff like dancing, cars, Christian radio, smoking, piercings, dress codes, Bible versions, gifts, those type of things. You know, we don't want to be fighting over. We don't want to be fighting over food. We don't want vegans and carnivores fighting in the church. It's just ridiculous. So we went through all that kind of stuff. Let me do this real quickly. Again, there are things in Scripture that are clear. Jesus said that he's the way and the truth, and no one can come to the Father except through him. That's foundational. You know, Jesus said, hey, don't you realize that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So don't be deceived. You know, all these things, if this is what you do, you know, that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You know, there are certain things that are clear unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Just because you come to church or whatever, that doesn't do it. It's, you must be born again by the Lord, by God's Holy Spirit. And so we just need to remember it's all about disputable matters. Okay, so now in that verse that you just read there, in verse 11 or whatever, or 10 rather, it says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat. And so we talked about that. That's the Bema seat. And what that was the place of rewards. There's two types of judgments we talked about. We kind of closed with that, that the Lord talks about in His Word. One is the great white throne judgment. That's Revelation 20, 11 through 15, where all the nations come before Him. Whoever's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life or was not, thrown into the lake of fire forever. But then there's the Bema seat judgment. And that's for believers. He's talking about believers. And that's where the rewards got dispensed in the Olympics. After the games, here's first place, second place, whatever. That's when rewards were given. And so that's the judgment Christians are going to get. Okay? But it does say that we're all going to stand before. And we're each, verse 12 jumps down and says, this is where we're going to start. In Romans 14, 12. It says, therefore, so then, each of us will have to give an account of himself to God. And so, that's true. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether good or bad. So we're all going to have to make that. But again, it's going to be a receiving of rewards, you know, crowns. You know, are you going to get a little, you know, bobby pin, or are you going to get a crown? Are you going to get one of those beanies with the propellers? You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. And so he's saying that stop passing judgment on those disputable matters. It's the Lord's going to judge him on those things. And so, I'm going to read one passage. Amber, can I ask you, since you have the mic, or give it to Kelly, one of the two, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. I'm going to get there myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Through 15. Okay, Paul's talking about, you know, divisions in the church. This one's following this guy, Apollos. This one says, I follow Paul. And he's trying to say none of that matters. What matters is Christ. He is essential. He's the foundation for everything. Okay, so verse 11 to 15. One of you read that for me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Yeah. So basically what he's saying is, man, the foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, we can build a lot of foundations. You know, our foundation needs to be not on a, even churches, you build it on a preacher. Or you've seen churches that build a foundation on a doctrine, a certain kind of doctrine, you know. Or you've seen folks build it on, you know, on their denomination or non-denomination. You know, or a building, our foundation is Jesus Christ. It's His heart, His word, His spirit. Home fellowship doesn't save you. It's Jesus. It's not a building that's going to save you. It's all Jesus. And then it goes on to say, it says, if any man builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. So on Judgment Day, he's contrasting two different things here. Do you notice that? He's saying, okay, if you're building with gold, silver, and costly stones, that's the thing, like we've been studying in 1 Chronicles and in Kings, that's what he put in the temple of God. Stuff that was valuable and precious and lasting. those type things. If you're putting those things into your heart and building a foundation for Jesus Christ, putting that in others, that's going to last. His word is precious. It's more precious than rubies and gold. If that's what you're building with, those good works, those good things that are going to last forever, then that's going to last. But if you're building with stuff that's going to perish, cheap things that don't matter, wood, hair, stubble, it's going to be burned up. So on that day of judgment, God's going to look at all your works and the good stuff that you've done for His heart, for His will. You know what? All that is valuable and precious in His sight, and that's going to last, and you're going to be rewarded. All the stuff that you're doing just to look good, you know what I mean? To look like the cool Christian, to look like the what for yourself, and it really wasn't for Him, that stuff's just going to burn up. Okay? All right, let's go back to Romans. I love that. Jesus is our foundation. I don't know what this is. Somebody handed me a piece of paper. I'm not going to open it. But I like how they were crumpling up those pictures, you know, of their old self. And they were throwing it in the trash. And as I walked by, I just said, somebody said, this is trash. And I don't know if it really was trash or maybe they wrote something on it, but either way, that's what we need to do with the stuff that doesn't honor the Lord. He goes on to say this in Romans chapter 14. He says, therefore, stop passing judgment on one another. Now again, in context, he's talking about disputable matters, okay? He's talking about things that aren't clear in Scripture. He says, instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. You know? I'll switch to this. Just a second. As far as Jesus being our foundation, also, the Scripture is really clear. Listen to this. It doesn't. God says He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His church. It doesn't say that. Or in His building. Or in His pastor. Right? It says His life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's Jesus. Alright, now he's talking about stumbling block. Instead of like, you know, judging your brother, hey, well, I don't know if you should be wearing, you know, I noticed, Amy, you're wearing open-toed shoes. Call yourself a Christian leader. You know, or whatever, the pastor has to read.
The holy preacher.
Hey! Amen, brother. But you know what I'm saying? That's a disputable matter. Listen, if you want to dress up and that's how you honor the Lord here, by all means, you are 100% welcome to dress up for the Lord. For me, and I shared this before, I came out of the business environment where I had to wear a suit and tie. Everybody treated me like I was a prince when I wore that tie. When I went shopping with that tie, I got fawned over. I loved it. My flesh loved it. They treated me so nice. My flesh loved it. That's not who I was. I could get people to do whatever I wanted. I could sell them whatever I wanted. But that's not who I was. This is who I am. God wants me. Not the fake image, hypocrite image. So this is why I dress down to honor the Lord. Now if you get married, yes, I will wear, if somebody wants to get married, I am going to wear a suit for that. I'm not going to wear a cut up suit. But I'm just saying. So whatever you want to do, do it for the Lord. But don't put stumbling blocks in other people's paths. Listen, this is, for those of you here, hit the lights for a second. I love archaeology. Now, for those, I've been to Israel multiple times. This is the town of Capernaum. It means the village of Nahum. This was Jesus' hometown. He says that in Matthew 9:1. The ruins of it. Peter's house is also there, or his mother-in-law's house, anyway. And so, Jesus spent a lot of time there. Some of the disciples also came from there. But Jesus, this is a synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus taught. In Luke chapter 4, he cast out a demon right in the middle of the church. And in Mark, he also healed Peter's mother-in-law after that. In chapter 4, 38-39, Luke. And then, this is a millstone. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. Instead of always judging them, you know, like being the sin sniffer, trying to find something, you know what I mean? I want to, oh, Daryl, oh, you know what I mean? Or, Connie, are you chewing right now? Is that sinful? Or do you know what I'm saying? Instead of always looking for something to judge your brother, or how about you instead make up in your mind that I just don't want to put any stumbling blocks in my brother's or sister's way. How about that? Now you've taken the focus on what they're doing wrong. Now you're saying, Lord, help me to do all I can to make a clear path for the Lord. Jesus said this. That's an olive press right back there. And this, my friend, you can see is a millstone, okay, in case you wanted to know what that was. Okay, this is a millstone, and what they would do is they would put the grain there. They'd have a big, like, log, and they'd have a donkey or a bunch of guys, and they'd, you know, walk around it in a circle, and it would crush the grain. This thing is so massively heavy. It is unbelievable, okay? And I want you to have the visual of what a millstone is for a reason. Yes, sir? Yes, Samson did have to do that. Yes, when they gouged his eye out in the Old Testament. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He did have to do that. He had to do that for quite a long time. Anyway, so this is a millstone. And the reason why I did it is because Jesus, sometimes we think it's not a big deal. You know, I can do what I want. You have freedom in Christ, right? You do, don't you? Right? He says it's for freedom. He set us free, Galatians 5:1. So, but we don't want to exercise that freedom and cause others to stumble. Okay? Like, for example, I know enough, you know, if I really wanted to come casual, I could wear running shorts and, you know, a tank top, but who'd want to see that? That might cause me to stumble. But Jesus said this, and this is serious about causing others to stumble. You know, we're all like, well, I can do what I want. Well, you know what? If you're a Christian and you love the Lord, no, you can't. You can, but you can't. This is what he said about causing others to stumble. This is a tripping hazard, okay? Jesus said this in Matthew 18:6. Listen to this. This is strong words. He said, if anyone causes one of these little ones to what? To stumble. Who believes in me to stumble, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the ocean. Hello.
Wow.
Millstone. Jesus is saying, if that's your attitude, he said, it would be better for you to have this on your neck and thrown into the ocean. Do you think that's serious? He takes causing someone else to stumble?
Yes.
Very serious.
Do you think maybe we should take it more serious? How are you talking to your brother or sister? How are you talking to your husband or wife? How are you talking to your kids? How are you talking to your pastor? That's real important to me. But do you know what I'm saying? We don't want to be doing or saying things that are causing other folks to stumble. It's a tripping hazard. And Jesus was serious about it, and I think we should too. Hit the lights, Jojo, will you? He goes on to say, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. But anyone who regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. He says, if your brother, in verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, that was a hot button back then, not so much now, you are no longer acting in love. Do not destroy your brother for whom Christ died. That word for if your brother is distressed, that means it's lupeo in the Greek. It means weighed down. It means grieved. It means whatever you're eating or doing or whatever is causing the stumble, just don't do it. 1 Corinthians 8:13 says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to stumble into sin, I'll never eat meat again, he says, Paul says. So that I'll not cause him to fall. What difference does that make? 1 Corinthians 8:8-9 says, food doesn't bring us near to God. We're no worse if we do not eat it, and we're no better if we do. But he says, be careful, though, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block for the weak. And that goes beyond food, doesn't it?
Right.
Yes, Carl.
Doesn't that go back to the first statement of
deny yourself.
That's right. Right. That whole, I can do whatever I won't do. That's what's the focus there?
Yourself.
It's all self, isn't it? Listen, we can become very knowledgeable as we grow, especially, I might even sound prideful, but when you're going through the scriptures, the more you learn with all that they say, we can become very knowledgeable. But knowledge can also puff us up, can it?
Yes.
And make us prideful and judgy. And listen, if you're really the stronger brother, then you know what? Sometimes you're going to lay down your rights for the sake of others to help them grow. Are you going to be a stumbling block for others or a stepping stone? You know what I'm saying? If you're the stronger brother, then you be the stepping stone. Why do I have to let them step up? You know how many times as a pastor, I know how much stuff gets said to me, and I think, oh my gosh, they have no idea. Just shut up, Lord, give me time. I'm praying for them. Step. I can nail them. I got a book form text this week about just, you know, every whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, their text has about 15 things that they don't have any idea is totally wrong. And they're slamming me. I can nail them to the wall. Now, should I do that? No.
Right.
No. You know, I went hang gliding. So I got a video, I went hang gliding, and me and my friend Michael, the one who spoke last week, went hang gliding. And I didn't die, so that was really nice. Absent, present Lord. Anyway, so on the way back, I got this, you know, huge bat, this text, so, oh, just, you know, what a terrible person. You know, it just, it's with the enemy. I had just a great day, and this, the whole book form of how a terrible person I am, and, you know, like, oh, I'm loving and I'm caring. And so I noticed all these things, factual errors that have, now they've got the wrong conclusion because they don't have the right facts. And I'm thinking, I'm in the car going, okay, I'm going to write line by line all things that I'm going to tell them. And I'm going to, because I'm 100% right. I know I am. They don't know I am, but I know I am. I'm going to tell them. And then my buddy Mike goes, you know, why are you even starting to type that? What are you talking about? He's like, You know you're not going to send it. I said, what? Yes, I am. I can send that if I want to. He's like, you're going to type it all up, and then you're going to erase the whole thing. That's what you're going to do. And I said, I have total right to do that. They're slamming me for the wrong reasons. Yes, I know that. They shouldn't do that. I shouldn't have to take it. I know that, too. They're mashing me for no reason. Yes, I know. He said, listen, he goes, I know you, and I know you're going to ultimately do the right thing. I was like, oh! Yeah. Whatever! You know. So I was quiet for a minute. And I'm like, oh. And of course, I knew I was thinking in my head. All right, no. I said, I was saying to myself, oh, I know he's right, but I just don't want to do it. I was just mad. You know what I mean? I don't have to get like that. I'm just having a little hissy fit at the moment, you know? And so he's like, here's what, and then he made it worse. He said, he told me what I was going to, he was right too, which made it worse. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're just going to tell them, hey, you've got some of the facts. You're going to offer to meet with them and tell them how much you're going to tell them how much you love them. You're going to offer to meet with them to clarify anything. And if you did do anything wrong, you'd be happy to apologize. And then you're going to tell them how much you love them. I was like, yeah, he's right. He's like, you're the stronger brother in this situation. You need the stepping stone. So sometimes if you're the stronger man, the stronger, you can lay down some of those rights for your brothers and sisters. You don't have to win every argument, do you?
No.
Nope.
My flesh says, yeah! Or my son, you know.
Depends which side of the shoulder you're on.
That's exactly, it's true. But anyway, so love builds up. Yeah. I even said, well, I know what they're gonna come back, even if I'm nice, they're gonna come back and slam me again, I know it. He's like, yeah, I know it too, you're probably right. Do it anyway. And then he said something, he's like, but who are you really doing it for? And I was like, oh. He's like, you know you're doing it for the Lord. Why are we even having this conversation?
And that's the result
even matter. Yeah. I love them, so I would be lying if it said it didn't still hurt. But ultimately, you're absolutely right. Yes, in God's eyes, I need to do what's right by Him.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Relationship is a process. It's not
yes.
A game that you win some and you lose some. It's
that's exactly right.
A process of closeness with the Lord.
Yes.
That's really what He's.
And our main goal is to please Him, right?
Right.
Amen. Good word. Okay, even Charles Spurgeon, there was, he had a fight. We have a saying that when you walk in here, that Charles Spurgeon says, you know, a Bible that's falling apart is usually read by a person whose life isn't falling apart. And every great preacher quotes Charles Spurgeon. He's a great man, but he had a hang-up. He smoked cigars. And he was a very witty man. And so even him and a guy by the name of D.L. Moody, you might have heard of, Moody Radio, 104.3, okay?
Yeah.
So they got it. Moody went out to hear him preach and was blown away, and so he invited him back to Spurgeon's office and sat down. So Spurgeon lit up a big old stogie and was smoking a cigar, and D.L. Moody was like so blown away. You know, he's like, I just heard you give the most anointed sermon, and the Holy Spirit fell on people, and there was conviction, and God, and now you're smoking a cigar, sir. I'm shocked that you would do that as a Christian. And Spurgeon was a pretty witty man, and Moody was a pretty big man, and so he did this as he was yelling at him over the stogie. He took his stogie and he looked at him, kind of did one of these. Yes, sir, but at least I believe in moderation. Now, you see how it's so easy to point the finger, right? Now, later in life, what happened was Charles Spurgeon was walking in a street corner, and he saw something like this that said, the cigars that Charles Spurgeon smokes. And there's even... And that's when he realized, oh my gosh, I'm a stumbling block for others.
Yeah.
And so later in life, okay, yeah, I got it. And I quit. I let that go. All right, so let's finish this up real quick. The last few verses here. Hey, does anybody have the New Living Translation here? Anyone have that particular Bible translation? Do you? Okay, would you read, I think it says verse 16 of Romans chapter 14. It says that very well in New Living Translation. Would you read that for me?
Yeah.
Nice and loud.
Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken as evil.
Now, it's probably not in the New Living. New Living says it really good. I think that's the NIV. That's okay. Would you read it nice and loud?
Yes. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good.
Yeah. You know what? Act in love. You don't want to be criticized. Yes, that's exactly right. Verse 17 goes on to say, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. And that's what we want to be, right? We want to be pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes we can be obedient to God and leave it there. But you know what? Sometimes my kids are obedient, but they're not really pleasing. You know what I'm saying? Some of you go clean your room. Okay, and this is what I get climbing up the steps. And they were obedient, and they cleaned their room. Now, does that make me happy as a dad?
What? No. No.
You might be talking about our other children. Anyway, but so I have to go up because, you know what, God wants us to please Him, to do what we do for Him, to lay down those things because we love Him, right? And to do what's right because we love Him. Give up some of those rights. Do what's pleasing. He goes on to say this. He says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. That word edification just means building others up. It says this in the word. Do what leads to peace. Now, it doesn't say to give in to a legalistic brother. Who, you know, you ever have been around one of those, brother or sister? Everything you do is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, my goodness, it's not saying to cave into those type of crazy people, but it is saying this. He wants us to, whatever leads to peace, don't repay anyone evil for evil. You could, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, Live at peace with everyone. That's what it says. And as far as building others up, can you put that link there for a second? That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you're doing. That's your mission, folks. Don't be tearing everybody down all the time. Build them up. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Listen, for those of us who struggle with our tongues, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. How much unwholesome talk, Christian?
Any.
None. Ouch for me. Any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for what?
Building
up others according to your needs, that they benefit those who listen. And then 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, let all things be done for building each other's up. Sorry, okay, just for time, sorry. You have to wait a few minutes, sweetie. I'm sorry. Because I already went over here. He goes on to say, do not destroy, in verse 20, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but if it causes a man, if it's wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble, it is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that would cause a brother to fall. And so we already talked about that, but... be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block for your weak, for the weak. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you're sinning against Christ. If they think they can't eat lobster or whatever their little hang-up is, if they don't want to go to blank movie, don't pressure them into it. You're sinning against the Lord because you're making them sin against their conscience. And then the last few things here, it says, so whatever you believe about these things, disputable matters, right, not major issues of doctrine, but whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. And then he says this last thing, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Not every Christian is going to know this blessing. It's like, you know, there are things that God may be challenging us to give up for him, but that we keep approving or making excuses on, right? You know what I'm saying? And we make excuses, and we're really just... And sometimes it may not even be a bad thing, but if the Lord is speaking to us about it, that's enough. I'm going to give you a thing that's not, you know, sin, but the Lord convicted me on it. Has anybody watched the movie Lord of the Rings? Okay? Okay, how many would say it was a great movie? Okay, so, okay, yes. So here's the theme. All right. J.R. Tolkien? Yes. Was a godly man, loved the Lord, right? He used to have sessions with C.S. Lewis. I mean, loved the Lord, right? Wrote this book. A lot of Christians have been very encouraged and blessed by it. And so, but for me personally, the Lord said, don't see it. So I'm like, okay, Lord. And I think I know why, but anyway, he told me personally not to see it. So for me to go see that movie would be bad, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'd be violating my conscience. So even when the second one came out, I remember I was at a pastor's conference, and I said, well, you know, I was thinking about one of my favorite teachers, John Corson, got up, and I was sitting on the floor, and they said, you know, I just have a word for somebody in here. And I was like... I wasn't even paying attention at that point because I was arguing with the Lord. I was like, wait, you only said don't go to the first one. This is the second. That's another issue. So I said, I could probably go do that. And he's like, I feel like the Lord is just saying there's not something that's really bad, you know, or wrong, but he's telling someone in there, and he's like, you know, maybe it's like you're not supposed to, you're going to see, he's telling you not to see a movie, and you're thinking about going to see it, and God is telling you not to see it.
Wow.
And he looked right at me. Now, I don't know if that was just the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you, our eyes met, I'm like, boo! I got it, Lord, I got it.
How much clearer could he get?
But if my sons ask me, hey, Dad, can we see that? The answer is yes, if it doesn't violate your conscience, go see it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to push that on them. That's something God showed me personally, for whatever the reason. And then that last verse here, and this is kind of like, it's almost like he's giving us a litmus test. It says this, he says in verse 23, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So it's almost like Paul is like giving us like a, I don't know, a way to test those gray areas, you know, that aren't clear in Scripture in your life. And basically he's saying, you know, if your conscience condemns you, then it's probably not of faith and it's probably of sin. You know, and if there's an area that's not clear in Scripture, but you're feeling awkward and the Holy Spirit's giving you that little nudge, you know what I mean? Then you probably shouldn't do it. It's probably not something you should probably do in faith. And so we have to ask the Lord as we're leaving here, you know, is there anything that God may be speaking to you about? Is there anything that you've been arguing with him about? You know what I'm saying? Like maybe there's something that's not, okay, I know I have the freedom to watch this.
Should I really be watching it?
You know what I mean? I have the freedom to say this, but shouldn't I hold back those words? Maybe there are some things that God's speaking personally to you, all right? And if that's the case, obey God by faith and trust him. And don't push that on someone else. Amen? And make it a point not to put a stumbling block in any of your brothers or sisters' way. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray and let's close out. Father, I want to say thank you, Lord. I just love that video, Lord. That if you didn't see that video, just come to me afterwards because I want to send it to you because that is so beautiful. You do make all things new, Jesus. You are the God who saves, Lord. You are the God who restores the drug addict, Lord. You are the God who restores the greedy and you are the God who restores the our hearts, our lives, Lord. You are the God who does miraculous things, Lord. You are so amazing, Lord. You forgive, Lord God, all that we've done. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here who doesn't know that forgiveness, that right now, that they would ask to know you personally in that way. And that you would show yourself to them supernaturally, Lord. That you are the God who forgives. That you can heal all that abuse that happened to them when they were young. You can heal that and set them on the right path. Any of those addictions, Lord God. Remember, it's alcohol, pot, porn, whatever it is, pills, you name it. That you can get them and free them from that and put them on the right path, Lord God. You can do so much, Lord. Lord, if they would only trust you, Lord. So I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anything here that's being held back or anything we're not listening to, that you would point that out to us and we would trust by faith to obey you, Lord. We love you and we pray your blessings on every man and woman here and child, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Have a great day, folks. We look forward to seeing you this week at the Bible studies.